Welcome this morning as we assemble together on this Transfiguration Sunday to hear the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to receive the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the altar. Let us begin our worship service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here."
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, February 15th, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in the production of this broadcast are Casey Jones, Rachel Welker, and Brian Beaton. The opening hymn is number 414, is "'Tis Good, Lord, to Be Here," hymn number 414 found in the Lutheran service book. Vernon and Janet Clockengate are sponsoring the flowers on the altar and the radio broadcast this morning to the glory of God in honor of their 64 years of marriage on February 18th and in thanksgiving to God for all their abundant blessings.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage, and the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron, and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. God on high. Be with you. Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory, and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this Transfiguration Sunday is from the book of Exodus, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 8th verse. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Then Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel went up, and they saw the God of Israel. There was under his feet, as it were, a pavement of sapphire stone, like the very heaven for clearness. And he did not lay his hand on the chief men of the people of Israel. They beheld God, and ate and drank. The Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and wait here, that I may give you the tablets of stone, with the law and the commandment, which I have written for their instruction." So Moses rose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up into the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we return to you." And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. Whoever has a dispute, let him go to them. Then Moses went up on the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord dwelt on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And on the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. Now the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. And Moses entered the cloud and went up on the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Apostles' Creed, what is the third article?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
What does this mean?
I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth, and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly provides all my sins, forgives all my sins, the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true.
The epistle reading from 2 Peter, the first chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John his brother and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. The third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated for the singing of our next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 537, Beautiful Savior. Hymn number 537 found in the Lutheran Service Book.
Sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. The words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this day, through the word of God, we go up the mountain with the three disciples, according to the account of Matthew. This is important for us because we stand on the edge of Lent. For 40 days, we will bury our alleluias. We will lament over our sins, and we will adopt a more somber tone to our services and our daily lives. O Christ, you walk the road our wandering feet must go. You faced with us temptation's power and fought our ancient foe. Will Jesus emerge victorious? Will he win the battle against forces of Satan? Is he the promised Messiah? We know the answer to these things, for we live post-resurrection. But the disciples didn't know the answer to these things. They were still trying to figure it out. They were still concerned and wondering who Jesus is, even though Peter had confessed him to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. We, on the other hand, live some 2,000 odd years removed from these events. The disciples didn't know what we know. They were living it out. Their hopes and their confidences were placed in and on Jesus. And what does Jesus go and do? He looks at them and he says, I'm going to die. Going to die. Now remember when Peter confesses Jesus to be the Christ? Peter states that Jesus is the Christ, and then Jesus looks at him and says, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for man has not made this known to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Then he goes on to say that the confession of Peter is the rock upon which the church will be built. The solid foundation, the base which all other confessions are built upon, that is Jesus of Nazareth. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the one promised to Adam and Eve. He is the Savior sent by God the Father. Furthermore, Jesus says of this confession, the gates of hell will not stand against it. This is a glorious moment. It is a heart beating, makes you feel good. You're on the winning team, especially with Jesus telling them he's going to give them the keys of the kingdom, and they will sit in judgment on the 12 tribes of Israel. And that whatever they bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever they loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. The excitement is palpable. And hot on the heels of this glorious declaration, the word of Jesus makes a very sharp turn. The Messiah must go to Jerusalem. Of course the Messiah must go to Jerusalem. Where else would he set up his throne? Where else would he set up his kingdom from? The Messiah must go to Jerusalem to face the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and suffer many things and be put to death. Who even heard the part about being raised once they'd heard the words, he must be put to death? Riding the wave of Jesus' glory and then hearing that he predicts his death, Peter is like, no way, not going to happen. Not to you, Lord. That can't happen to you. Say it isn't so. Then, to boot, Jesus follows it all up with a jaw-dropping, by the way. By the way, if you're going to follow me, you too are going to have to take up your cross and bear it. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. What profit then is it for you if you gain the whole world and yet in the end lose your soul? That's going to have to sit and ruminate for a while, be thought on, because it's downright scary. They all knew what it meant to bear a cross. They all understood crucifixion. They understood the horror and the awfulness of that. And here's Jesus telling them, you're going to have to pick up your cross. You're going to have to bear your cross. You're going to have to suffer if you follow me. From victory with the keys of the kingdom to bearing a cross. So Jesus lets this all lie still for a while. Nothing of what Jesus said or did is recorded for the next 6 days. Jesus, just when it seems that Jesus is doing absolutely nothing for his church, the disciples and we, through Matthew's account, get a glimpse of Jesus' glory. While here on earth, Jesus is in a state of humiliation. He does not always and fully use his divine powers and show his divine majesty. Here he is veiled. And yet sometimes we get a glimpse, a peek behind the veil. Like Moses and the elders of Israel, there will be a glimpse of the Lord's glory and his power and his might. As the Old Testament tells us, the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain. It took an invitation from the Lord for Moses and the elders of Israel to go up to the mountain, to sit in the presence of the Lord, to eat and to drink in the presence of the Lord. For it had been said by the Lord God, if anyone sets a foot on the mountain, be it man or beast, they should be put to death. This was a terrifying, overwhelming sight that Moses and the elders of Israel and the people of Israel had beheld. But the Lord said to Moses in an invitation, come up to the mountain that I may give you the tablets of the stone with the law and the commandment I have written for you. Moses waited, and the glory of the Lord dwelt on the top of Mount Sinai for 6 full days. And at the end of 6 days, Moses went into the cloud of glory of the Lord. Dark and fiery was the bringing of the law. Jesus, on the other hand, invited not 70 elders, but 3 witnesses to come up to the mountain with him, that when the appropriate time came, they would be able to give witness to that which they had seen. They would make personal testimony that the accounts of Jesus through his resurrection and ascension aren't stories, they aren't myths, but they are real occurrences, that they really happened, for they were eyewitnesses of the things that Jesus had accomplished. What did they see? What was it? They saw Jesus unveiled, glorious, such as no human being had ever seen him show forth. His face was shining like the sun. His body shone through his clothes, causing his clothes to turn a bright white. Moses and Elijah were there with him to strengthen him for the task that was before him, for the ordeal that he was about to undergo. And Peter was bold enough to speak, but when he spoke, he jabbered when it would have been best for him to have been silent. And he was still speaking when a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said to them, this is my beloved Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Perhaps the voice was commanding as the Lord spoke to Elijah on the mountain. Maybe it was a low whisper. For remember when Elijah was on the mountain, the Lord passed by, and he wasn't in the thunder, and he wasn't in the lightning, and he wasn't in the wind, and he wasn't in the storms, but he was in the still small voice that spoke. So perhaps the Lord thundered on the mountain. Perhaps the Lord spoke in a whisper on the mountain. Who knows? What we do know is the result is that the disciples fell on their faces in terror. The cloud descended on the mountain in all its brightness and glory, and the voice of the Lord spoke. And upon hearing the voice of the Lord, the disciples were overcome and falling on their faces in abject terror. It was only by the touch of Jesus that the fear was removed, and they went down the mountain with Jesus reaffirming that he will die and rise again. But this time the disciples were silent. What a roller coaster ride. It would have been great to see the transfiguration of our Lord, to be strengthened to face the trials and the opposition that the world will give to our faith and to our very lives. We have such things to strengthen us, though. We think, oh, this would be great. But we also have wonderful things given to us by the Lord our God as we are strengthened to face the opposition of the world and our own sinful selves. We simply need to just slow down and understand them for what they are. The Lord knows that each and every one of us will bear a certain cross. We will bear our crosses in this life and in this world. We will be fitted with labor for the kingdom, labor in the kingdom of the Lord. And sometimes it will be a joy. And sometimes it will be overwhelming and hard to accomplish and hard to do. And the Lord Jesus Christ knows this. The Lord Jesus knows we will walk to our own personal Golgotha, our own personal place of the skull. And as we face our joys and our sorrows, our strength and our sins, he asks us to repent and to trust in him. For in truth, we have been given, I think, even more than this glorious vision that the disciples had. We have been given the gospel, that is the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, offered to us through the means that the Lord appoints. Baptism, the Lord's Supper, holy absolution, along with God's word that is written and preached and shared, these things are the means of grace. And we have them. We have them in our possession. They are given to us freely as a gift by God, our Lord, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We have all of these things. And where there is sin, yes, there is death. But where the sin is taken away, there is life. Right? The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. God attaches his promise, his grace, to the word and to the sacraments. As a matter of fact, you know, as we look at the waters of holy baptism, we see in the waters of holy baptism that we are caught up by the Lord. We are taken by God. We are made his own dear children. We are given the forgiveness of our sins and life everlasting. We are given an eternal inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. By the mighty hand of God through the water and the word, we were brought into the kingdom of God we are brought into the kingdom of God. And though outside of these doors the hosts of the devil may rage and roar and scream and yell, here we are judged safe and sound. Here we are protected by God the Father Almighty. Here we are protected by angels and archangels. And as we go to our homes, we pray that our Lord Jesus Christ would send his holy angels to guard and protect our very homes in which we live and in which we dwell. And this very day you have confessed your sins. The holy absolution has been spoken over you, and your sins are forgiven. They have been taken away. They exist no more. The Lord God has taken them away as far as the east is from the west. And this very day your hands and your lips will touch the very body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And at that time, the curtain between heaven and earth will be pulled back, and we will sing and we will rejoice with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven. We will rejoice with our loved ones who have gone before us into the glory of heaven, and we will see God in face to face in the form of bread and wine. In, with, and under the bread and wine, we will see our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we could but see what happens here this day, we wouldn't do nothing less than fall on our own faces in the majesty of our Lord and Savior and in the majesty of our God. And even though we now have life, we do tremble at our sins. We fall fragile at best. We know that we have failed. We know that we have been unworthy servants, just like Peter and the disciples who were on the mountain with him. But what did they experience? When the vision was over, they hear what we hear. They hear the touch, and they feel the touch and hear the words of God in the flesh, Jesus of Nazareth, who reaches out to them and says to them exactly what he says to us today. Rise and have no fear. So as you leave this house of God today, as you leave having been strengthened and refreshed through the sacrament of the altar, as you leave forgiven, as you leave strengthened to face the world that is before you, go forth from these doors today and have no fear. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds, through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for the singing of the offertory.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM, as well as www.zlclinc.org, where you will find the links to the internet stream and to the Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
We rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, as you showed your Son to be both God and man in the brightness of his transfiguration, give us holy fear as we hear the proclamation of his salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, O Lord, for the birth of Jackson and Jameson Bright and for the new life that has been brought into this world. We now ask you this morning to hear our prayers for Jack as he went back to the hospital last night. We ask that you would strengthen Jack and Rachel also as she recovers from her childbirth. Strengthen Thomas in his vocation as father and watch over their home with your mighty power. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and giver of life, as we rejoice over the arrival of Jack and Jamie into the world, we also celebrate the 100 years of life that you have given to Dorothy Haseley. Receive Dorothy's thanksgiving for the gifts of family and friends that have graced her life. And most especially, she gives thanks for the salvation she has in Christ her Savior. May Dorothy be granted all her days your gifts and your grace. Lord, in your mercy. Yes. Heavenly Father, bless the families of your church. Especially do we ask that your word of blessing be upon each married couple, strengthening them in their commitment to their spouse. Most heartily we give thanks to you this day for the years of marriage you have given to Vernon and Janet Clockengay as they celebrate this week their 64th wedding anniversary. Thank you, O God, for their lives together and the love that has grown over the years. Grace their home so that their love for one another would reflect the love that you have for all of us. Lord, in your mercy. In your wisdom, O Lord, you have seen fit to call the soul of Steve Sauer to your heavenly throne. Comfort Donna and her children in their grief, giving unto they and all who mourn the sure and certain confidence of a joyous reunion with those they love on the day of resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have poured out the blood of your Son from the cup of the new covenant. Because he is sacrificed for us and feeds us from his altar, Grant us a place with saints and angels before his heavenly throne. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember on this day the glorious manifestation of your Son's divinity on the Mount of Transfiguration. Teach us to listen to Jesus and to ever fix our eyes on him and his innocent suffering and death for our forgiveness. By your grace and mercy, strengthen us to remain faithful in all circumstances of trial, temptation, and persecution. Preserve us unto the end, that we may die a blessed death, believing in your beloved Son, with whom you are well pleased. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue now with the service of the sacrament as found printed in the order of worship. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to the disciples, that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and his resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the true faith for life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Please rise. The true body and true blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in his peace. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. Bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is Farewell to Alleluia, sung to the tune of The Church's One Foundation, found in 644, the psalm Farewell to Alleluia. Please be seated. Just a few of our announcements this morning. There is no youth group activities this afternoon. Megan, did you have...
There is still frozen cooked sausage links in the freezer back there, right off the kitchen, so help yourself to that. I believe the school has backbones and maybe a spare rib left. That's it. And Lynn Shealy may still have a little bit left. So we hardly have any left of any of our frozen sausage. But I really am going to push the cooks because it's great because it's already cooked. All you have to do is reheat it. And it's back in the freezer.
All right. Thank you, Maggie. Please remember that this Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. We have Ash Wednesday services here at the church starting at 6:30 p.m. As it says in the bulletin, ashes, in position of ashes with the sacrament of the altar. Next, I don't know what I'm saying, so much. Next Sunday, the 22nd, is breakfast and board games with the youth group. So there's a sign-up sheet for that on the gray shelf. Please sign up for breakfast and board games. Come and enjoy a nice breakfast and then some board games with our youth. It's a nice intergenerational activity. As you have heard in the prayers, Mr. Sauer passed away yesterday. They're not meeting with the funeral home till sometime today. So I have no information on a visitation or funeral at this time. And also, we were going to have Rachel and Thomas's twins baptized at second service this morning. We'll have to hold off on that. Jack, one of the twins, went to the NICU last night. He was lethargic and wasn't eating, and they thought maybe some jaundice or possibly an infection, so they put him on some oxygen, at least some forced air. They've been admitted to the NICU up in Springfield, and they'll be keeping an eye on Jack for about 48 hours, so they'll watch him, so he'll be in the hospital there. And then Rachel said, you know, let as many people know as you can, so keep Rachel and Thomas in your prayers. She's still recovering from the C-section. So this is, you know, difficult on her. Thomas is at the hospital. She's at home. And so it's just, you know, all the prayers you can give, certainly appreciated. And may the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.